Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast, and happy draft week, everybody. On today's episode, we're going to take a look at three moves the Edmonton Oilers could make leading up to their number 29 overall pick on Thursday. Plus, if they do keep that number 29 pick, could this Gatineau Olympic defenseman be the guy the Edmonton Oilers are looking for? We'll have all that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. On today's episode, yes, as mentioned, we are into draft week. And as Kenny Holland said, this is the week where most of the moves will start to be made. So, what moves will the Oilers be making heading up to their number 29 overall pick? Well, we will go through three potential moves the Oilers could do or could make to make draft day and draft week that much more exciting. Plus, Tristan Lennau, he is a defenseman for the Gatineau Olympique, and could he be kind of a sleeper in this draft? I know most guys around this area that the Oilers are picking are normally sleepers, but or we can say that they're sleepers, but this guy just might be one of them. Plus, we are going to make three draft week predictions, as it is the most exciting time of the year. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcasts. And today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Alrighty, well, where we are going to start is, yes, it's happy draft week, everybody. It is my favorite time of year. Is draft and the prospects and the whole draft process, I guess, is really one of my favorite times and favorite events that I get to see, at least from mostly from afar, maybe in the future up close and personal, but just one of my favorite times of year. And it seems to be a lot of fans' favorite times of year, favorite time of year as well, because there's a lot of moves, a lot of trades, a lot of signings, a lot of rumors. So might as well feed in to that rumor mill. So here are three moves the Edmonton Oilers could make heading into draft day on Thursday. Because the last time the Oilers made a draft day trade, it's been a long time, honestly, in recent memory. I can't really remember. You know what? No, I do remember. It was the 16th overall pick and the second rounder in 2015 for Griffin Reinhart. Yeah. Sorry about that one, Oilers fans. That one honestly just came back to me off the top of my head. And I apologize for that because that kind of ruined my day. But also, if you are joining us or if you're a regular listener to the Locked On Oilers podcast, yes, we are coming to you a little later because of it being draft week. We're waiting to see. Maybe there was a news dump on the Monday after the weekend. There hasn't been, but you know, there's always potential for news. But anyways, here are the three moves that the Oilers could make heading into draft day. The first one is a buyout. And that would be the buyout of Zach Cassian. That has been talked about quite often for the Edmonton Oilers. And, isn't quite the word to say. The movement of Zach Cassian has been the talk of kind of the town for a little bit. There are a lot of potential moves for the Edmonton Oilers to make. And the easiest way for them to kind of be able to make all of those moves under the cap will be to buy out Zach Cassian. I mean, most likely they would prefer to trade him because then you could get an asset in return that you could use in the draft or that you could use in a future trade or could even come in and join your team now. But if we're being realistic, this isn't Chell. The Edmonton Oilers and a lot of teams around the league, in fact, basically every team around the league, is going to look at Zach Cassian and say, you know what, he's not that $3.5 million player that the Edmonton Oilers thought he was when he signed anymore. So they're not going to really want to take that massive hit for Zach Cassian for him to play X amount of games and get 13 points on a team with Connor McDavid or 13 assists. That's not what a lot of guys or a lot of organizations around the league want. However, if they could get him for a discounted price or a cheaper price, they are more likely to do that. So the Edmonton Oilers are looking at it and just going, you know what? We're probably not going to get anything of substance for Zach Cassian. We need cap space. It's going to be easier just to pay you off for a couple of years or the rest of your contract and just get you off the books relatively. And that buyout is probably going to be the best option for the Oilers. It clears up if they are currently at $7.1 million in cap space off the top of my head. That'll boost them up to about $9 million in cap space. So that'll help with some additions as well, some smaller additions too, and a little negotiating rights as well. So Zach Cassian being bought out by the Edmonton Oilers, that is the first move I could see the Edmonton Oilers making this week. The second one, this one is kind of unfortunate because that would mean, well, the Oilers aren't picking at 29, and that would be that the Edmonton Oilers trade that 29th overall pick, that first round pick in this year's draft. The unfortunate thing with that, of course, is that the Edmonton Oilers wouldn't have a draft pick in the first 150 prospects. That would mean the Edmonton Oilers only have a fifth, sixth, and seventh rounder in this draft. But that is not where my prediction ends. I think the Edmonton Oilers could trade that first round pick, but if they do, that means that they, either in a separate deal or in the same deal, they are getting a second or third rounder back, maybe even a fourth rounder, just to kind of core out that the rest of the rounds. The Oilers can move back if their guy is still there. They think they can still get their guy later in the second round, maybe even in the third round. They can go, you know what? Here's an asset. We've recouped a couple. Now we've got a little extra prospects. And we've got some more trade capital. You've got a whole lot to deal with. And again, I think if the Edmonton Oilers are going to be trading that first round pick, it's going to be in a pretty substantial deal. The Edmonton Oilers are going to be getting somebody in return or something in return that is going to be either important for the team immediately or important for the team down the road. So if the Oilers trade that first round pick, it isn't necessarily going to be the worst thing, because most likely it's going to be in a pretty substantial move. So the second thing that I think the Oilers are likely to do in this week is trade that first rounder, but only if they have draft picks recouped or coming back in return. That's the only way I can see it. And the third and final thing I can see the Edmonton Oilers doing this week is trading Esa Puljujärvi. Yeah. Yeah. If you know me, I have wanted Esa Puljujärvi on the Edmonton Oilers since he was 16 years old, watching him play with Patrick Laine and Sebastian Aho at the World Junior Hockey Championships a couple years ago. Well, almost 10 years ago now. I feel old. But I wanted him on this team for so long, so bad. And the Oilers got him. Jarmo Kekalainen went up and picked Pierre-Luc Dubois third overall, and I screamed and squealed and called my dad and said, yes, he's coming! Yes, he's coming! And it's been a tumultuous couple of years, let's be real. I have put it out all on the table how much I think Esa Puljujärvi is valuable to this Edmonton Oilers club. But it's time to move on. Esa Puljujärvi wants to be a top six guy. Do I think he can be? I do. But it's so flooded in the top six that it just seems like, you know what? Maybe he can fit in the top nine, still get some top 6 minutes, but it's not that top six, that Esa Puljujärvi wants or demands. Demands is kind of a tough word because we all know Esa Puljujärvi. He just wants to play hockey. He just wants to go out there, but he thinks he should be a top six guy. Do I think he should be? Yes, as I already mentioned. But the Edmonton Oilers and the organization is not fully behind that decision. The Edmonton Oilers are still looking at top six wingers to bring in this season. So if the Edmonton Oilers were to sign Ryan McLeod, Kyler Yamamoto, and Jesse Puljujärvi, and sign a top six forward, and potentially sign a bottom six forward as well, there's not a lot of space for Jesse Puljujärvi. Sorry, Jesse, you are my man. No matter where you go, I will be on your side. But it seems like the Edmonton Oilers would prefer to just move on from this, and same as Jesse Puljujärvi, cut our losses and let's figure it out. But as Ken Holland said, he's not just going to give Jesse away. So that could also come into our second prediction, is if the Oilers do trade Jesse Puljujärvi, or do trade that first round pick, and they do trade Jesse Puljujärvi, they're probably going to be getting a pick and a player, or maybe a one for one, or just a couple of picks for Puljujärvi. Either way, those two might go hand in hand. So those are the three draft week moves I think the Edmonton Oilers could make, because let's be real, it is one of the most exciting times of the year, one of the most important off seasons for the Edmonton Oilers this summer, and it all gets started this week. How are you not excited, everybody? Come on. Alrighty, let's talk about one of the prospects the Edmonton Oilers could be bringing in this year's draft. If they do keep that number 29 pick, who could be there? Well, one defenseman from the QMJHL has really caught a lot of scouts' attention, but the Oilers could see him fall to 29. We will talk about him in just a second, but first, I want to tell you about our partners over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including the only major four sports league that is still going on right now. It's kind of a sad time in sports, but it's still baseball that's going on. Major League Baseball is still going on. The Jays are one of the hottest teams in the league. I'm a massive Dodgers fan. The Dodgers almost swept the Padres. Almost, I say, but they lost the other day. I don't want to talk about it. But there's so much baseball to look at. Excuse me. On Bet Online. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores, and so much more. BetOnline.net remains your top best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports, teams, events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Oh my goodness, if you got to see UFC 276, what a treat that was. I know some people are kind of upset. Oh, O'Malley got the no decision. Oh, Adesanya went all the way. You know, come on. Come on. Those were great fights. And if you are buying UFC events, you know what you're getting. And that is what you might get, you know? But, oh, what a card. Adesanya's walkout to the Undertaker theme. Oh, my goodness. Sorry, I actually jumped out of my seat during that. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet online, where the game starts. Alrighty, let's go in for our break here. Our little hydration break, even though this is not... That's not water. That is certainly an espresso coffee, but we'll get past that. Excuse me. Alrighty, let's get into Tristan Lanau. I mentioned Tristan Lanau as some of the draft picks or some of the defensemen the Edmonton Oilers could take a look at in the draft. I kind of brushed over him, and that was mostly because I didn't think the Edmonton Oilers might have any interest in him. Well, this week I ate my words, because it seems like Tristan Lanau might be available for the Edmonton Oilers at 29, and it seems like he might be a very viable option. So why did he fall down to 29? Because you see a lot of the reports that people have on Tristan Lanau, and there's not a lot of cons or negatives or things that he really needs to work on in his game. And if he does, They are very, very easy to fix. So, who is Tristan Lanau? He plays for the Gatineau Olympique in the QMJHL. He's number 8 for them. And he came in as the first overall pick in the QMJHL draft a couple years ago. And he didn't disappoint at all. In fact, in his first season, in 31 games, 4 goals, 14 assists, 18 points, and that was the COVID year, so, you know, there's a little bit of that lull, I guess, or kind of a tough season for a lot of guys. He still came out there, still did his job, 18 points in 31 games in his first season in the QMJHL for Gatineau. And the thing that really comes out, or the thing that's really obvious about him, is that he can quarterback a power play. He can move the puck well. He's a smart skater. Here's the thing about Tristan Lanau. His mother is a figure skating coach. Tristan Lanau's first sport or first activity was figure skating. So he knows the basics and the basics of the most advanced parts of skating. The interesting thing is, though, that one of his cons, or one of the things that he needs to work on or develop in his game, is his explosiveness in his skating. He's a very solid skater. In fact, some people even put him as an exceptional skater. He uses his crossovers, the edge of his blades, so well, and he really can cut down angles and force attackers to the outside with his skating and a hockey IQ as well. But it's his explosiveness out of his defensive zone, back into the defensive zone, and going into transition plays that really kind of, some scouts go, that's where he needs to work on his game. But his mother is a figure skating coach. This kid has known how to skate in the most advanced ways since he was a child. That's a pretty easy thing to fix for a kid whose skating is basically second nature for him. Plus, I haven't even talked about his offensive skill. I did a little bit, that the fact that he is an offensive, or is able to quarterback a power play, but he has a great shot. He gets pucks through from the point to the net and forces the issue for his forwards to possibly do something with the puck. He has a terrific release. He can pick corners from the point. He has a great shot from the point, but he can also dive into plays as well. He can also read open ice and get into that open ice and attack that open ice, make something available for his teammate, make himself available for his teammate, and really help continue the play. Is there anyone better to do that with than Connor McDavid? Now, I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but that is a draw for a lot of prospects. You have to think about the future. You have to think about, how are these guys going to fit into the team in the future? Well, if a guy is great moving the puck, he's a solid skater and can only get better, which is scary, he can identify open ice, and still, the thing I haven't even got to yet either, is that he loves to play physical. He just had surgery, which is one, I'll get into that in just a second. He just had surgery, so a lot of people would go, oh, maybe he's a little reluctant to go into the corners or go into those hits. Nope. Nope, not at all. He's still just as physical. He takes his body to the next level and hits guys no matter what. Now, that injury that I just mentioned, he did have surgery on his knee last season, or last offseason, going into his draft year season, and that has kind of deterred a couple of scouts. However, as I just mentioned, the reasons why that deterred scouts are, well, maybe he's not as physical. Maybe his skating won't be as great. Well, this season, in 2021-2022, in 63 games, 12 goals, 31 assists, 43 points, and then in the playoffs, 7 games played, no goals, 6 assists for him. So the skating's there, the confidence is there, he's still willing to hit. That is impressive for anybody. So what was this injury? It was a knee injury. He did have to have surgery on it. However, it wasn't a hockey-related injury. It wasn't a hockey-related surgery, really. This has been something that Lanau has been dealing with since he was a child, since he was a kid, and now has been able to get the surgery to correct it. not a little bit of an up in the air type of injury or type up in the air type of surgery, I guess, or report, I guess. But still, it hasn't really deterred his game, and I don't think it can be something that can really harm him in the future. I mean, knee injuries are knee injuries, so those are difficult to deal with, but it clearly hasn't deterred him in any way. He's still as confident, he's still just as physical, and that is great to see. So how do I think Tristan Lennau will turn out in the NHL? Well, I think he's going to be a top four defenseman. He has that physicality, he has that IQ to play well in his defensive end and get the puck out to his forwards as well. He can see and identify open ice and attack open ice. He has a great shot. I mean, the kid scored, what, 31 points in 63 games this year as a defenseman? Not too bad. And 43 points with 31 assists. Those are kind of Tyson Berry-esque type numbers. Not too bad. Let's take a look at the rankings where some people have him in this year's draft. Elite Prospects has him at 69, but that's basically the lowest that they have, that a lot of people have him. Again, a lot of these rankings are adjusted or affected by that injury and surgery that he went through. That doesn't seem to be an issue. So, FC Hockey has him at 34. Bob McKenzie has him at 32. McKean's has him right at 29 at the Oilers spot. Craig Button at 33. NHL Central Scouting has him as a 24th ranked North American skater. Recruit Hockey has him at 31. Dauber Prospects has him at 33. And Draft Prospects has him at 27. So right around that Oilers area. Could he go a little higher than the Oilers area? Absolutely. Because it seems like the only knock on him has been that injury. He sounds like a terrific kid. His coach really sold the way he plays. And if a lot of those factors come into selecting a kid, Tristan Lennau might not even be there for the Oilers. But if he is, I think the Edmonton Oilers might have to snag this guy up because he looks, I was going to say special. That's a tough word to use for draft prospects because then everybody just immediately goes, oh, this kid's the next Cale Makar. Oh, this kid's the next Connor McDavid. Not exactly, but he's a very good hockey player. And I'm excited to see what he can do. Alrighty. That is Tristan Lennau. That is who I think the Edmonton Oilers could pick and honestly should pick, depending on who is still there at 29 or if the Oilers are still there at 29 as well. But let's get into our predictions for this week, as last week, it wasn't that great. It wasn't that great. But just before we get there, thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. As I mentioned, it is draft week and the NHL draft is right around the corner on Thursday. On Thursday, people. Ugh, how are you not excited? And our team of local hosts and draft experts are breaking it down with insights and analysis for every first round pick. Yes, Locked On is going to have all of the draft, NHL draft coverage you can imagine. Plus, join me 15 minutes after the Oilers make their selection at 29 to talk about all of the Oilers' picks and their moves on draft night. Subscribe to Locked On Oilers on our YouTube if you haven't already for all the latest breakdowns and live reactions on the NHL draft and so much more. Oh, I can't wait for it. It's my first NHL draft that I'm technically working for, so it's a dream come true. I can't wait to be able to cover an NHL draft for you guys, and genuinely, this is going to be the best place to come for anything NHL draft related. Some of the stuff that the people in Locked On have been doing for the NHL draft has been unbelievable. If you want to learn more about Tristan Lennau as well, quick shout out to Ross over at Locked On Senators, because they did a massive, they also did an episode on Tristan Lennau on that as well. And they did a whole NHL mock draft as well. So make sure you go and take a look at that as well, because it's amazing. The great work they do over at Locked On Senators. Great work everybody does at Locked On. Oh my goodness. All right, I'm rambling here, but follow every Locked On podcast you possibly can because it's fantastic. All righty, let's get into our predictions for this draft week. It's an exciting one, but let's take a look at our predictions from last week. Because they weren't so great. The first prediction from last week was we were going to get a Mike Smith retirement. Well, all quiet on that front. It is all quiet on the Mike Smith front. It sounds like the extension has been pushed again for Mike Smith and Duncan Keith. So we probably won't get word until just before the free agency market opens. So that kind of sucks. But we shall see where that goes. It's starting to sound like, honestly, Mike Smith might be heading for LTIR instead of retirement. And then at the end of this season, he'll decide whether or not he's going to retire. But we shall see. Duncan Keith keeps playing. That was the second prediction from last week. Sounds like it might still be in the works for Duncan Keith. However, nothing in stone. So again, another one we got wrong, unfortunately. So I apologize for that. And the third one is the Edmonton Oil Kings would win the Memorial Cup on Wednesday night. Later that night, the Edmonton Oil Kings went on to get eliminated in the Memorial Cup. So, sorry about that. They didn't even make it to the groups or to the playoffs. So, I apologize. I kind of jinxed it because they played that night. But if the thing about the Oil Kings are a fantastic organization, a lot of returning players next year. Hopefully, we shall see. This has been in the making for a couple of years, and this is kind of reminiscent of the last time the Edmonton Oil Kings in 2012 went to the Memorial Cup. They went there just a super hyped team, and they couldn't get it. They couldn't get past that playoff stage, couldn't get into the playoffs. However, a couple of years later, they went on to win it. I'm not saying, but that would be pretty cool, almost 10 years later on. But I'm sorry, Oil Kings fans. They still won the WHL, so let's celebrate that. Congratulations to the Edmonton Oil Kings. Congratulations to Luke Prokop for also winning the Humanitarian of the Year for the CHL as well. Obviously deserves it. What a great work he has been doing over there for the Oil Kings. And the NHL, the WHL, hockey in general, the LGBTQ plus community as well. Thank you so much for Luke Prokop for doing that. Just a star in the making. But this week, let's get into this week's predictions. This week, the first prediction I have for the Edmonton Oilers is they're going to trade Jesse Puljujärvi. I just think there's too much talk around him right now. Too many teams have him on their radar. The Edmonton Oilers do really want, I think the Edmonton Oilers really want more draft picks in this draft. So I could see them making a move. I think Puljujärvi will pull a pick and a player that can be used now or can play now. But we shall see, it, especially with the longer that it goes on, the trade market kind of starts to go down. So I think if the Edmonton Oilers want to cash in on Jesse Puljujärvi's highest ceiling or highest potential return, I think it would have to be this week. Because the longer it goes on, the more teams might deter away from Puljujärvi, find replacements for him, and then the Oilers are just kind of left with Puljujärvi after everything that happened this summer. Which, again, might not be the worst thing, might light a fire under him, but you never know. The second thing for the Edmonton Oilers this draft week is I think the Edmonton Oilers are going to draft two goaltenders. It seems like Ken Holland and the Edmonton Oilers scouting staff, now this seems like it could be the last season for some of the scouts that are coming out of the Edmonton Oilers organization, so it might be a little different next season or in the future, not hopefully, because I think the Oilers have done a pretty solid job last couple of years, but the last couple of years as well, the Edmonton Oilers have drafted to their weaknesses. I mean, heck, a couple years ago, the Edmonton Oilers only picked forwards in the Holloway draft. In the Holloway draft. Every pick that year was a forward. Then they come into the next year, and then they're drafting the forward, a couple more defensemen like a Luka Munzenberger. Shout out Luka. I think he's going to be fantastic. So the Edmonton Oilers clearly have a need at goalie in their organization. Stuart Skinner's in the NHL next year. Ilya Konovalov left this year. Really, Olivier Rodrigue is the only and Ryan Fanti as well, are the only goaltenders in the Oilers organization. And to be honest with you, Sylvain Rodrigue, who is Olivier Rodrigue's father, just had a negotiation with the Toronto Maple Leafs about potentially going there as their goaltending coach. So Olivier Rodrigue may not even be a member of the Edmonton Oilers in the future as well. If his contract runs out, the Rodrigue connection isn't necessarily there. So the Oilers could be left with, what, two goaltenders in their organization? That's not fantastic. So I think the Edmonton Oilers might be looking at drafting two goaltenders in this year's draft. It would depend, A, on how many draft picks they do end up taking or how many draft picks they end up with going into the draft and end up walking out with. And B, it could depend on who's there. If the Edmonton Oilers have their eyes set on this guy, they say they get a third round pick, they have their eyes set on the best goaltender in the draft, and then he gets selected, well, so much for that. It'll depend. It will really depend on a couple things around the league. But I do think the Edmonton Oilers will pick two goaltenders in this year's draft. And the final thing that I think will happen at this year's draft is, I think the Edmonton Oilers are going to pick at 29. I don't think the market is good enough for that first round pick. It seems like next year's first rounder is a little more valuable to a lot of other teams. So the Edmonton Oilers first round pick next year might be in play a little bit more than this year's pick. So I think the Edmonton Oilers will pick at 29. I think they'll also end up recouping some picks down the road as well in some trades, whether that's Warren Fogle, Jesse Puljujärvi, Tyson Barry, whatever it may be. But I do think the Edmonton Oilers will pick in the first round this year. If not, man, that would make my job so much more boring on Thursday. Come on. Come on, Edmonton. Let's make a trade. Don't make a trade. Pick a 29. Alrighty, let's call it there. Everybody, it's draft week. Let's get excited. What a week it is. Ooh, excuse me. I'm so excited. I'm smacking the microphone around. I shall call it there. Just before you go, thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. For your second listen, make sure you tune in to Locked On NHL. Locked On experts give you daily 30-minute podcasts on all things NHL all year long. Stay up to date on everything in the hockey world with Locked On NHL, your daily 30-minute NHL podcast. Alrighty, we shall call it there. It is going to be a wonderful week. I'm sorry for coming to you a little later than normal. I wanted to see if we had a little bit of a news dump. That didn't happen, unfortunately, but that's all right. I hope you have a wonderful Monday, a wonderful start to your week. It's going to be a great one. Have a great week, and don't do anything I wouldn't do.